I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WOGL HD3, Philadelphia, from the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast.
This is the next generation of talk. Now, on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, Rich Zeoli.
Trump is expected to speak once court wraps up and this nonsense of a trial. I think Philly Talk put it best on Twitter when he said, Rich, in 2016, Trump wasn't my guy. And even if I found Trump in bed with my wife and my dog and my daughter all at the same time, then laughed about it as he shoots me in Times Square, I still wasn't voting for Hillary Clinton. Well said. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. That's the premise. That's the entire premise here. All these legal minds who are speaking on TV, and it's great. I mean, I'm not trying to take away from, I love Andy McCarthy. I don't always agree with him, but I think the guy's a terrific guy, and he's smart. Everybody understanding and going through the law and the fact that there's nothing that Trump did that's actually illegal, those are all important points. Absolutely. Yes, very important to point out that nothing Trump actually did here is actually a crime. Very important to point that out. It's not a crime to pay a non-disclosure agreement. It's not a crime to try to cover up allegations of an extramarital affair. It's not a crime to try to destroy, to kill a story before it's published. None of those things are crimes. None of those things are illegal. It's very important to point out. But what I'm pointing out is that no one anywhere who voted for Trump would have changed their vote to Hillary Clinton had all this stuff come out. So this is all a moot point and a waste of time, a waste of my time and your time. And it's a waste of the people of New York's money. And it's a waste of all these cops and Secret Service agents and all the other who could be doing other things with their time. Now, listen, being the son of a cop, I can tell you the cops love the OT. So they're not complaining. That's the overtime. There's a lot of overtime right now. There's a lot of OT. So, you know, this is good for them. But still, at the same time, this is nonsense. This is not. So, I mean, I'm torn. I'm conflicted in that sense. I understand the cops are getting a lot of OT and, you know, put it to you this way. When I was a kid, if my dad had a lot of OT, then I had good Christmas presents. You know what I'm saying? Santa was very good to us that year. OT is a big deal. But I still think this trial is nonsense. And that's not enough of a justification to keep this thing going. And that's all the judge should ask. The judge should just ask. He should say, I have a question for the district attorney before we get started here. Where's your proof that anyone would have changed their vote in 2016? See, eventually when this case gets to the United States Supreme Court, which it's going to probably because this is ridiculous, it may not get that high, but it's going to go at least to the state Supreme Court unless it's just overturned in a higher court in New York. I'm not an attorney. And I'm not familiar with New York state law. But that's the question I'd ask. Where's your evidence that this would have changed people's votes? If this was election interference, then the presumption of that is that people would have voted for the other candidate. What are you basing that on? Can you provide for the court some polling data? Can you provide for the court some analysis of 2016 that show that Donald Trump would have lost the presidency had this come out? And the other question I would ask, and, you know, thanks to Jay Carlin for pointing this out on Twitter, and I've pointed this out many times, Alvin Bragg's jurisdiction is in the state of New York. Trump lost New York. Trump also lost New York City. He lost Manhattan. I think he won Staten Island, but he lost Manhattan. So nobody in New York, you can't say that people in New York would have changed their vote. They didn't vote for him. He lost New York State. He didn't get New York's electoral votes. So how does he become the election magistrate over all 50 states? How does he get that power to argue that the people of Pennsylvania, which put Trump in the White House, would have changed their vote. So then that's what I would say if I was a judge. I'd say, first of all, your jurisdiction ends in this state, but let's just have fun for a second here, and let's pretend like I'm going to allow this farce to continue. Donald Trump needed this amount of electoral votes, so let's just use the state that helped him get there, Pennsylvania. Do you have any data that shows that Pennsylvanians would have voted for Hillary Clinton had they known the allegations of Karen McDougal and Stormy Daniels? Have you done any research on that? Has your office done anything to prove that? Because as the judge, if I'm going to allow this farce to continue, I need to know that this election interference that you're claiming would have actually changed the outcome of the election. Otherwise, all this is nothing more than a gigantic waste of time. A gigantic waste of time. I mean, it'd be like saying, I'm gonna charge a campaign manager. I'm gonna charge Hillary Clinton's campaign manager, Robbie Mook, with election interference for running such a crappy campaign. The Clinton campaign was one of the worst campaigns I've ever seen in the history of my life. She didn't campaign in the Rust Belt. She called everybody deplorables. And their entire message in 2016 was Donald Trump's gonna cause nuclear war, and Donald Trump says mean things on Twitter. That was their entire campaign. That's it. Every commercial was about how Trump was going to launch nuclear weapons, and every other commercial was he says mean things and our children are watching. That was the entire message. Didn't go to the Rust Belt, not one time. So why can't I charge Robbie Mook with election interference for running the worst campaign in presidential history? How come that's not election interference? Wouldn't it be election interference if I'm a bad pollster and I give a candidate really bad poll numbers? And then the candidate makes decisions based on that and then loses. How come I don't get arrested and charged with election interference? We don't do that because we're not able to know what we don't know in life. We don't know that if that other mail piece that you just didn't have the money for went out, if you would have won the election. We don't know if your position on this issue would have actually caused you to win. We don't know if you had just campaigned in Michigan, you would have won. We don't know these things. So you don't get in trouble, and this is why people that lose campaigns run again, and why the campaign operatives who run those campaigns get hired again. Because you don't know what could have been the thing that changed the outcome of this election. If I had just gone door to door one more time, if I had just made more phone calls, if my volunteers had stuffed more mailboxes, who the hell knows? Nobody knows. That's the point. But you can find out. I mean, if you really want to, you could find out. If the judge in this case really wanted to, he could commission a poll of Pennsylvanians. He could, and this is how you do it. You would have to do a survey of Pennsylvania voters and have them certify under oath that they voted for Donald Trump. So under penalty of perjury, they have to certify that they voted for Donald Trump. And under penalty of perjury, ask them if they would have changed their vote to Hillary Clinton had the allegations of Stormy Daniels and Karen McDougal come out. If the majority says yes, then this trial can proceed. Then we'll let this farce continue. Because then you've proven that, yeah, maybe the outcome would have changed. How about that? How about we agree on that? How about we do that? And we could wrap this up in a matter of days. Get a good polling firm to go out there and track down actual vote. This is not hard to do. You know who voted in 2016 in the general election. You know who voted. So just get a sample of those people, as big as you want. What do you want, Your Honor? 30,000 people? We'll get 30,000 people. We'll have them certify under oath that they voted for Donald Trump. So they can't lie on that. Because if there's ever a way to find out, that they would go to jail for perjury. So they could be charged with perjury. So you have to certify under oath that you voted for Donald Trump. And then I'll ask you the question, would you have changed your vote to Hillary Clinton? And if you say yes, and a majority of that poll says yes, they would have, then I'll let this trial proceed because there may have been election interference. Do you think the majority would say yes? And then don't answer that question because you're an intelligent person. You're too smart to answer that question. You know the answer to that question already. You also know that I'm asking that question and I don't want you to answer the question because we already know the answer to the question. But it'd be a great way to just speed things along. It'd be a way to speed things along a little bit. Delay the trial for a week, and then commission the poll and find out. And when the results come back in and go, Your Honor, We surveyed 30,000 Pennsylvania voters who certified under oath that they voted for Donald Trump in the 2016 general election in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And Your Honor, 99% of them said they would not have changed their vote had they known about the allegations by Stormy Daniels and Karen McDougal. In fact, Your Honor, we actually found some people who said they would have voted for Trump twice if they could have in the 2016 presidential election. And then the judge can say, case dismissed. This is ridiculous. Because the premise of election interference implies that the outcome would have changed. Does it not? Does it not imply that the outcome of the election would have changed? How can you argue election interference if your premise is not based on the fact that the outcome of the election would have changed had such interference not occurred? So if the outcome would not have changed, then it can't be election interference. And if it can't be election interference, then it's not a federal offense. Therefore, Alvin Bragg has no jurisdiction, which case it's just then a misdemeanor under New York state law, and the statute of limitations long expired, and this case is dismissed. That's it. In a nutshell. There you go. I, the Honorable Richard A. Zioli, just saved the people of New York $1 billion of nonsense. And we could all go back to our lives. Very simple. That's it. That's the test. That's the ask. That's all the judge has to do. I mean, the judge in night court would have done that. Any judge who wanted to see a fair trial would have had the district attorney explain the hypothesis of election interference. What are you basing this on? If you make an allegation of something, you have to be able to back it up by some sort of data set, right? So what is your data set that says that this would have changed the outcome of the 2016 election? Show the court, provide the court that data. And if you don't have it, this trial is not proceeding. This trial is not proceeding because you have failed to show the court that you can definitively prove that the outcome would have changed. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zioli. Thank you for being here today. I appreciate it very, very much. The big story of the day brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. He is the best, and he'll give you the smile of your dreams, and you should go see him today. Yes. Oh, and you know, one thought on the case of the presidential immunity from yesterday that I was thinking about, and all the hypotheticals of murder and assassinations and coups and everything else that the United States Supreme Court justices kept asking. You know, there was one thing that I don't know if anybody ever realized in that entire course of the conversation with the Supreme Court justices and all of the various hypotheticals and scenarios that they brought up and all the things. In each case, the prosecution, the United States of America, I should say, was trying to make the argument that no other president would have ever been charged for anything they did, even if there was gray area, whether or not that was legal. Because this was going to be, this is a one and done, try Trump, and then the genie goes back in the bottle. This does not start a precedent. This does not create a precedent whereby we criminalize and go after former presidents. Every time an actual historical fact was brought up, whether it was Lyndon Johnson lying about Vietnam, Richard Nixon, Gerald Ford pardoning Richard Nixon, Franklin Delano Roosevelt's internment of Japanese Americans, George W. Bush lying to Congress about weapons of mass destruction to start the Iraq War, under the hypothesis that he lied, Barack Obama killing American citizens with drones. In none of those instances did the United States of America concede that those could have been criminal. They justified each and every scenario by saying, well, no, Your Honor, because, I mean, Clarence Thomas even asked about coups, Operation Mongoose, things that were done to literally overthrow governments. And in each instance, we were told by the United States of America, Your Honor, Justice, no, and because there were legal memos that were written and the legal memorandum and the Justice Department told him he could do it. And then every single time, except Donald Trump. And the reason for that is because the prosecution, the United States of America, wants the Supreme Court of the United States to believe that this is one and done. You prosecute Trump and then never, no other president ever gets prosecuted again. The genie goes back in the bottle and we're good. Because every scenario that was brought up, they had an excuse for why that would not be criminal. Every single one. Even Barack Obama killing people. You know, and all the hypothetical fantasy scenarios they kept bringing up, you know, like, what if Trump goes on an axe killing spree? And, you know, what if the president decides to start slashing throats of women, you know, at night? And I mean, and all the ridiculous scenarios that were brought up, there's actually a real case of a president ordering someone's death. Barack Obama with drone strikes. And the United States of America took careful time to explain why it was perfectly fine for him to do it. Because he had a legal memo that said, I can kill these guys. I can kill these people. The Justice Department said it's okay. And therefore, the murder statute would not apply. Aiding and abetting would not apply. And he's good. They justified the former president of the United States murdering somebody. However, Donald Trump's comments on January 6th, no, that should be prosecuted. That should be prosecuted. But one and done. That's it. Roosevelt takes American citizens from their homes, forcibly removes them without due process, and puts them in concentration camps. But he could not face criminal charges for that because the Marshal of the Donald Trump, however, his comments on January 6th, criminal charges, one and done, genie back in the bottle, never again. It was laughable. And I don't know if anybody else has pointed that out to you but me. This is why your time is very valuable and you spend it wisely with me. I don't waste it. I appreciate it. Time is the one thing you never get back in life, obviously. Time is the thief I would rob. Your time is precious. So I always hope you get something, a new way to look at something on this program every day. It's what I strive to do. Has anybody else made that point? That in every scenario that was brought up through American history, the United States of America had a justification for why that president would not have faced criminal charges. Did you notice that? And the goal of that was to get the United States Supreme Court to go along with this nonsense, to allow the prosecution of Trump, because it's just going to be one and done, genie back in the bottle, never again, not start a precedent, not create a fear that presidents would face criminal trial in the future. Everything would be fine. America would be hunky-dory, go back to the way it was, all good, one and done, move on. And I wish one of the Supreme Court justices would have pointed that out yesterday. Like, do you people think we're idiots? Do you people think we're that stupid? You've justified everything every other president has done, including a guy whacking a guy with drones. Guy literally whacked him like a mob boss with drones, and you justified how that's not murder. But I'm supposed to believe that this is a one-and-done thing and the genie goes back in the bottle? Because you got an answer for everything any president's ever done that might have just even maybe possibly flirted with a gray line? Unbelievable. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. All right, Dr. Victoria Coates is going to join us in a matter of moments, and I'm excited to talk to her. But before I do, let me just say, I know that Matt DeSancta Traitorous is on his way back from Harrisburg. Henry Mashed, the associate producer, he's in with me today. Henry, thank you for not going to the hoity-toity lunch. Thank you for being here to do the show.
No,
appreciate
that. Some of us have to work for a living.
Yeah, some of us have to do a job, you know, which is doing a radio show and not go eat fancy lunches in Harrisburg.
And complain about it, too.
And complain about it.
Oh, no, they didn't serve the steak this year. Oh, boo-hoo.
Yeah, he literally said that. He texted us earlier and said he wasn't coming in because it's Friday and he wouldn't get back till after 5. So, you know he's got to go home. And then he whines, and I'm gonna read you this. It was, they didn't even have steak this year. Plus, they didn't even have steak this time. He drives up to Harrisburg to accept the Pennsylvania Association of Broadcasters Award for Best Afternoon Radio Show in the entire state of Pennsylvania in a major market on my behalf, and he complains that he doesn't have steak when I'm working and he's not.
Seriously, and he's still getting paid.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Nice life, huh? Nice work if you can get it. And he also demanded a first-class plane ticket to Harrisburg, Henry. I don't know if you know this, that or not.
He's going
to
fly out of Newark?
Yeah. He demanded a car service and a first-class ticket so that he could fly in class to Harrisburg. It's excellent.
I'm just surprised he didn't wear any Harvard gear to the thing. He actually dressed up a little bit.
What a hoity-toity snob,
oh,
huh?
Oh, no, they served chicken this year. Boo-hoo.
I didn't get what my steak. doing our social media check-in on with our friends from Cherry Hill Volvo. Mike Carr says, Rich, you're missing one group of people. How many New York voters who voted for Hillary Clinton would have voted for Trump if they knew about Stormy Daniels? You know, those who only vote for candidates who slept with shot-out porn stars. Very good.
Yeah, we're a sex-positive society, I thought.
That's what I thought. How many people would have said, love is love is love, and voted for him, changed their vote to him, had they known the allegations? That'd be another poll I would commission as the judge. I'd like to know if anybody would have changed their vote for Trump. Would any college guys have gone out and voted for him, thinking he was a total stud? Let's see if I can also... Italos asks a question. Hi, Rich. When the Republicans present evidence of voter fraud, the Democrats claim that it wouldn't have changed the election. So to your point, what is the difference between what Alvin Bragg is charging Trump with? Well, yeah, it's a great point, because no matter what, we've been told that nothing would have changed the outcome of 2020. Nothing. Nothing would have changed the outcome. It is what it is. So Alvin Bragg is the nation's greatest election denier. I mean, you realize that, right? Of all the people in all the land, Alvin Bragg is the biggest election denier there is. Okay, listen, Garden State Earthworks is a great company. And my buddy Lou Vargo, he solved my wet backyard once and for all, done. Drain that water away. He's the best. There's no one better. Garden State Earthworks. If you've got water problems on your backyard, here's the bad news. The bad news is the water problems never get better on their own. They only get worse. They cause you damage to your basement, your hardscaping, your swimming pool. They cause mosquitoes to breed. It's just a mess. But Garden State Earthworks drains the water away. For decades, they've been doing that. Their work is guaranteed, and they'll do a great job for you. All you got to do is call them at 856-848-4444. Now, they're extremely busy this time of year. With all the rain we're getting this spring, they are busy. But if you call them, 856-848-4444, and you tell them I sent you, they will make you a priority. Lou was over at my house for dinner the other night. He brought some of his homemade vino. It was delicious. He's become a great friend. I first met him years ago when we had our first house that had the wet basement, and he said to me, you'll never have another drop of water in this basement again. And I never did. He drained that water away. It was good to go. Never had another problem with that. And now that he drained my backyard, our backyard, which used to be a swamp, is now nice and dry after those heavy rains. And I don't have to worry about destroying my new basement. So reach out to him today. 856-848-4444 or GardenStateEarthworks.com. GardenStateEarthworks.com.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's a nice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Scioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
Oh, and she's also the former Deputy National Security Advisor to President Donald Trump and the Vice President of the Davis Institute for National Security and Foreign Policy at the Heritage Foundation. She is Philadelphia's own Dr. Victoria Coates. Hello, Doctor. How are you today?
I am great, Rich. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. I had your old boss on the show on Monday. I don't know if you heard that.
Which one?
Donald Trump.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you. I'm actually going to do
an
encore.
How did it go?
Went great. We had a nice chat together. It was good to catch up with him. And he, I'm going to replay it actually at the very end of the show today because I promised him I'd play it twice. And so I'm going to replay it a little bit later today in case anyone missed it. But no, it went great. It was, we had a great chat. He's actually about to speak now. Henry, can we roll? Can you just record that for me so we can play it after the interview?
Yeah,
be able to do that. All right, great, excellent. But listen, you know, there's a lot. He talked about the border, and he talked about the national security implications, and he talked about the fact that. And I said this to him. I said, you know, Mr. President, I know you don't like FISA, and I don't like FISA, and I think it's outrageous that they keep telling us that they have to spy on us to protect us from terrorism, while we have all these able-bodied Chinese men crossing the southern border, and yet nothing's done. And then he told the story of a friend of his who just flew into the country and had to go into a room, and he said it was a very, very long experience, and he's an American citizen, and he said, you know, he should have just crossed the border illegally. The national security implications of this border, and at the same time the government says we need to be able to spy on you without a warrant. It's infuriating.
No, it really is. And I think, you know, the former president has kind of distilled his message down to drill, baby, drill and build the wall. And I am 100% with that program. And I agree with you on FISA. You know, I think we've all heard all of the national security implications of FISA, but if they can't get a warrant, they should not be able to spy on us. This isn't complicated.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really not that complicated. You made a great point the other day when you were on Fox News, and we talked about the Ukraine funding and the entire foreign aid package. How are we paying for this?
We're not. We're just printing money, and we will be saddling your kids and my kids with another generation of debt. The statistics on what is happening to the debt, literally as we speak, because of this rampant out-of-control spending, is truly sobering. And this is what really could kill us vis-a-vis China, because, you know, they're in a bad place economically. But if we keep doing this, we keep just tacking on the debt for no good reason. We have strong revenues. We can budget things under a normal process. It's just this administration doesn't want to pick and choose. They don't want to make hard choices. They want to do it all. And what we wind up with is just an unsustainable fiscal picture.
Yes, exactly right. And it's, we're told now, Mitch McConnell came out the other day, it was kind of laughable actually, and said, you know, $60 billion, we have the clip of this. Let me play this clip for you, Dr. Coates. Henry, this is cut number four, Mitch McConnell, take a listen. Oh, we can't play it if we're rolling. Okay, no problem. I'll just read it then. Mitch McConnell said the following, Dr. Coates. He said, it's not a whole lot of money. $60 billion is not a whole lot of money. It certainly sounds to me like it's a lot of money. And the question that Dana Perino asked him was, will it be enough to defeat Russia? The answer to that, of course, is no. It's not going to be enough to defeat Russia. And $60 billion is a whole lot of money.
Right. And you have the administration already leaking to Politico that, oh, we don't think we can win in Ukraine. So, okay, what are we doing? If we can't win, are we just, you know, piling on debt and piling up dead Ukrainians, you know, so that Biden can claim he didn't lose? I think it's absolutely outrageous. And, you know, we have to start somewhere. We have to start with $200 million. We have to start with $60 billion and just get rid of, you know, stop the increase in debt and this unpaid for spending.
Now, you spoke at the University of Pennsylvania, and you addressed the anti-Semitism epidemic on U.S. campuses. And I'm glad that you did that. I think it's very, very important. And the DailySignal.com has what you said. You said, and you wrote, Dr. Coates, I went to the UPenn campus to address the anti-Semitism epidemic at U.S. colleges. So tell us what you talked about.
Yeah, it was interesting because, of course, my PhD is from Penn, and I roamed freely around that campus for many years as both a student and then as a professor, with really not a thought to my own safety. But yesterday we had an official Penn-sponsored event. It was the institution within Penn was the Penn Alumni Free Speech Alliance, which is a new group. This was their first event on campus, and the administration tried to shut it down. There were attacks on the website, so people had a lot of trouble registering. And then there was incredible security. I think we had more armed guards than we had participants, and it was while the protests were starting over. So I think it was probably wise, but you know, my point is that for me now, speech on Penn's campus is not free. I have to pay. I mean, that was very expensive security. There is a price tag to it that was covered by, you know, the taxpayers of Philadelphia, for the Philly cops, the Heritage Foundation, the university. You know, it's chilling. And you know, my message, which is that, you know, this is anti-Semitism that we're seeing on display here, plain and simple. It is genocide against the Jews. And that opinion is so radical that I needed all that security to come to Penn's campus and utter it. And that is a bad, dark place that academia is in.
It seems like the insanity of these protests has got to have political ramifications for the Democrats. I think we're going to watch, and several other people have made this observation, 1968 all over again at the Chicago Democrat National Convention when they had all the protests against the Vietnam War. I mean, we're going to see that again. And these college students who are protesting, the political problem for Biden is that in places like Michigan and Minnesota, where this is the mindset, they're very angry at Biden for standing with Israel. Now, I don't think Biden is really standing with Israel that much, but in their mind, the fact that Biden doesn't have a From the River to the Sea banner hanging off the White House means he's standing with Israel. So he's got a political problem with all of this.
No, I think you're 100% correct. And the difference to 1968 is that, you know, the Vietnam War was a war of the United States. And the people doing the protesting were either, you know, veterans or people who were trying to avoid going to war. There was a direct American interest in that. You know, this is something entirely different. This is calling for the eradication of a segment of the United States population, because they're not differentiating between Israeli and American Jews. They're just saying, you know, Jews should go back to Poland. Jews should be killed, in the words of one of the organizers of the Columbia encampment. So I think this is even in many ways worse and more corrosive than 68. And I can only imagine what's going to go down in Chicago.
Yeah, I agree with you, Dr. Victoria Coates. Dr. Victoria Coates is with me, the former Deputy National Security Advisor to President Donald Trump. Where does everything stand, you think, in terms of with Iran and Israel? We haven't heard much this week. It's been kind of quiet, and maybe it's because all the Trump court stuff has been overshadowing everything. But where do things stand with the Middle East right now?
I mean, between the campus protests and the court cases, you know, the news cycle has sort of been gobbled, understandably so. But things remain extremely tense. We had another Houthi attack on a commercial vessel today. Fortunately, they didn't do any damage. But, you know, it's another attack that makes shipping all the more difficult through the Red Sea. And the Israelis are signaling that they're pretty ready to go into Rafah. The Egyptians tried to broker another round of talks for the hostages. And just a reminder, there's still three Americans being held in Gaza more than 6 months after October 7th. So you would think this would be of more pressing interest to the administration. But no, Tony Blinken had time to go shopping for records in Beijing today, but not a word to spare for those American hostages. But I think the fear is that if Israel does go to finish the job in Rafah, that we'll lose the rest of the hostages, which is obviously deeply sobering. But I think Israel has to finish the job.
And yet, as we hear this, we have people like Bernie Sanders standing on the floor of the Senate and saying not another dime for Israel because they're committing genocide. The allegation that Israel is engaging in genocide, I mean, that is just a horrific allegation that's being made, and it's being made by American politicians.
And it's incorrect. And the new phrasing that they're using to kind of excuse the genocide against the Jews is that Zionism necessitates the genocide of the Palestinian people. That's absolutely not true. If Hamas had not executed October 7th, none of this would have happened to the people of Gaza. Israel would have no interest in a military action like this. This was entirely the doing of Hamas. So you can say that the Palestinians are creating a lot of unnecessary death and suffering for the Palestinian people. But that is not the goal of Zionism, which is the establishment of a Jewish state in Israel. That goal has been achieved. And the Palestinian people have been living there for now 76 years without having been eradicated. And I don't hear any Israelis running around saying the Palestinian people should be eradicated. They would like to live in peace, but I mean, they're not calling for genocide. So it's inaccurate. Senator Sanders knows better. It's sloppy language that excuses anti-Semitism.
Now, Senator Rand Paul earlier this week tweeted out about the fact that the United States of America has troops in Niger, a country in Africa, and also Chad as well. And he said there's no authorization for us to have troops there. And now there's a question of whether or not we're going to be withdrawing them. What's that all about?
He's accurate on both counts, and the base that we had in Niger was particularly valuable for counterterrorism. So the authorization that has historically been used for this operation is the 2001 AUMF that was passed after 9/11 to go after the Sunni-based terrorists, so al-Qaeda, ISIS, and now a number of groups in Central Africa. And, you know, that is probably valid. I, for one, support either the revision of the 2001 AUMF or its repeal and replacement with what is necessary for us to do the counterterrorism work we need to do. But I agree with Senator Paul, Senator Lee, and you know, Representative Roy, that authority is being stretched beyond what could be defined as its legal limits. And that's not honest with the American people, certainly not 20 plus years on. So, you know, the unfortunate thing is that all of these countries are now basically kicking us out. So we lose that counterterrorism ability. And, you know, today I tweeted, you know, we're going to need a list of all the bases we've lost to go with the list of all the embassies we've lost under Joe Biden. And it's a problem because that's one of the real hotbeds for Sunni terrorism right now.
And you're right, because this authorization from 2001, I mean, this is the problem with these ongoing things that are never modified ever. And it is a problem. Dr. Victoria Coates, I wanted to ask you, since you mentioned we've lost bases, I know that there's a report that the Afghanistan withdrawal, that it was way worse than what any of us even realized. And as more of that comes to light right now, I think it's important to note what an absolute disaster fiasco that was by the Biden administration, and they're doing everything they possibly can to not have to discuss that.
No, and you know, there are all sorts of elements that there the folks who are still trapped in Afghanistan, there are still Americans there. You know, that is a horrible problem. And then you have all the equipment that was left behind that was theoretically scuttled and made inoperable that the Taliban is amazingly now using. There are the alliances between the Taliban and China, for example, who are now getting access to all the natural resources in Afghanistan. And all the administration seems to care about, I mean, I should mention the rampant human rights abuses of the Taliban. They picked up right where they left off when they were kicked out in 2001. And what did the State Department do today? They released a human rights report which draws an equivalency between Israel and the Taliban. 103 pages for Israel's human rights abuses, roughly the same for the Taliban. So they're as you said, they're trying to sweep all this under the rug, make it seem not so bad. You know, oh, Israel's just as bad as the Taliban, so maybe that's kind of acceptable. But, you know, it so fundamentally damaged our national security posture. I think we can draw a line from that failure to, you know, all of the problems that we see today.
Well, listen, last question I wanted to ask you about, which before I let you go, is that the Eagles last night during the NFL draft, are you happy with the outcome of that?
I am. I am because one of the Dallas Cowboys was in the New York Post today saying he was utterly disgusted by our pick because he thinks he was one of the best in the draft, that he should have gone at 12 or 15, but was still there at 22 when we came in. So I don't claim to know a huge amount about him now. Looking forward to learning, but it sounds like he's going to be a great bird.
Well, if the Cowboys are upset, then that's a good thing for us. All right, my friend, 100%. Have a great weekend. Thank you, Dr. Victoria Coates. We'll chat with you again next week.
Sounds good, and I'll listen to that interview. Thanks, Rich.
Thank you.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Henry, you know about the guy we drafted, right?
Yeah, Quinyon Mitchell.
Tell us about him.
So this is an interesting pick. He was a lot of teams' highest-rated corner going to this draft. He's from the University of Toledo, which is a smaller school. So the risk was, that he hasn't played any big-time opponents or that, but he's got all the tools, it seems. It seems he's just got a natural ability to play the position. So the fact that Micah Parsons, who Dr. Coates was alluding to there, said that was like his number one guy, that was who he wanted the Cowboys to get, that also helps. So I think this guy, he's going to come in, he's going to be professional, because you could tell by his demeanor when he got drafted last night that he's all business. He's not a showboat guy. He's not that type of guy. He's going to come in, put his head down and work, and I think it's going to pay off.
Okay, good, good. And you think that's what the Eagles need?
Yeah, the secondary was so bad, especially in the back half of the season last year. They needed to get younger. They needed to get faster, and this definitely addressed that need.
Okay, good. All right, excellent. Excellent stuff. Well done, my friend. Well done. All right, listen, Natural Lawn of America is going to help you get that beautiful green grass that you love with fewer weeds, by the way. You're going to get greener grass with fewer weeds, guaranteed, at Natural Lawn of America. They are the absolute best at what they do, and I've been using them for years. And the reason why I love Natural Lawn of America is because Natural Lawn takes the time to figure out what your lawn needs. This is not a cookie cutter company where they come in, they spray your lawn with the chemicals just like they do every other lawn in the neighborhood. They take the time to figure out what your lawn needs, and they're safer. More organic-based approach means a safer lawn for you, your family, your pets, the kids, and the results are outstanding and guaranteed. And now you can take advantage of Natural Lawn's free seeding offer. They will seed your lawn for free every year as part of their full service program. But you got to act by the end of the month, because this offer ends the end of the month, and the end of the month is almost here. That overseeding every year makes such a difference with the quality of your lawn. And the technician who came to my house wrote detailed notes about what my lawn needs. And it's family-owned and operated and local, right here in PA and New Jersey. That's why I also love Natural Lawn of America. So go call them right now. 1-800-FREE-SEED and take advantage of their free seeding program. Or go to naturallawn.com. Natural Lawn of America. Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed.
Thanks for listening to the Cioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
Oh, yes. So great to have you with us today. Dr. Anthony Fauci. Asanto Fauci, the nation's leading infectious disease doctor, you always have to say that by law, of course, will testify publicly on pandemic era policies and the COVID-19 origins in June. That's correct. He's agreed to testify publicly in June for his role in overseeing pandemic era policies and shaping the narrative surrounding the possible origins of COVID-19. Good. Get this guy under oath and then charge him with lying to Congress, because he's gonna lie, and he's lied before, and he's a liar. Fauci knew that this virus was gain-of-function research that he paid for, and it came from that lab in Wuhan, and he lied about it. And the emails prove it, and everything proves it. And remember the hard time he gave Senator Rand Paul over the fact that Rand Paul said, "Why should I get vaccinated? I've had COVID." And Fauci continued the lie that the vaccine would stop transmission, which it did not do. He covered up any of the side effects. This guy was also instrumental in the censorship campaign against America. And as the chairman of the committee, Brad Wenstrup of Ohio, said, "Retirement from public service does not excuse Dr. Fauci from accountability to the American people." On June 3rd, Americans will have an opportunity to hear directly from Dr. Fauci about his role in overseeing our nation's pandemic response, shaping pandemic-era policies, and promoting singular questionable narratives about the origins of COVID-19. During the two-day transcribed interview, the lawmakers on the panel will question Fauci on gain-of-function research, the lab leak hypothesis, which of course we know is a fact, social distancing guidelines, and other matters relevant to COVID-19. Remember, in his private testimony, Fauci said that the social distancing, the 6 feet, they just made that up. They just picked a number out of thin air. I think they actually literally got it from the movie Contagion. Because in the movie Contagion, that's what they use, 6 feet. In his private testimony, Fauci revealed serious systemic failures in our public health system and raised significant concerns about public health officials and the validity of their policy recommendations during the COVID-19 pandemic. Fauci refused to explain the rationale for the 6 foot social distancing recommendations, saying they sort of just appeared at the pandemic's outset and were likely not based on any scientific data. And regarding the lab leak hypothesis involving the Wuhan Institute of Virology in China, Fauci testified that it was not a conspiracy theory after all, despite some scientists' attempts to disprove it in a paper 4 years earlier. He conceded that the coronavirus possibly originated from the Chinese lab, but played with the definition of a lab leak to defend Nature Medicine's publication, The Proximal Origins of SARS-CoV-2. So that is coming up, and we will be watching that intently. You better believe it. Dr. Mike Veneria, great guy, great friend, and the master of dental implants. There's simply no one better than Dr. Mike. With two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury, go see him today. What are you waiting for? You deserve a beautiful smile. You deserve the smile of your dreams. For over 10 years, Dr. Mike has been recognized as a master of dental implants among his peers as one of the best dentists in New Jersey. And you're going to love the staff is wonderful. The people that work there are just the best. He's got great music playing in the office, a comfortable, welcoming environment. You don't want to go to one of these big chain dental offices. They are concerned about cost. Dr. Mike is concerned with one thing, and that's care. And the level of care at Dr. Mike Veneria's dental office is simply unmatched. There's no one better. So if you've had an estimate for complicated dental work, please go see Dr. Mike Veneria for a second opinion. You deserve it. You deserve that beautiful smile. Just go to VenariaDental.com. That's V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VenariaDental.com. The master of dental implants, my family's dentist, and just an all-around great guy. 856-786-2020, 856-786-2020, or VenariaDental.com.
Rich Cioli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.